Gentlemen, brothers and sisters, can you hear me at the back? Yes. I have written a play about Paul Robeson, and if I may, I will perform an extract from it now. Paul Robeson is telling the story to the audience about how he recorded a particular song back home in America. I recorded a very patriotic song called A Ballad for Americans, and boy, did that make me big. It was played on every radio station the length and breadth of the country. I toured all over singing it with orchestras and choirs. That was definitely the peak of my popularity and of my career commercially. Everywhere I went, my concerts were packed. I remember singing one night in Kansas City, sometime in 1942, the Municipal Auditorium. I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree goes hungry mouth is pressed against the earthly floor. But can I have the house lights on, please? I have been going around this country for several years now, and everywhere I have been, I have campaigned tirelessly for equal rights for my people, for our integration at all levels of society. I have also insisted that I will not sing to segregated audiences. I thought that that had been understood by the management of this auditorium when this concert was arranged. But I see that their pledge has not been honored, because we have white people down here and Negro people up there. And for this reason, I'm afraid I have to say that this concert is now over. See, only the previous week, I had sung the Ballad for Americans at the Hollywood Bowl with the biggest damn orchestra and chorus you can imagine. Man in white skin will never be free while his black brother is in slavery. 30,000 people cheering me to see them come. And you know what? That night at my hotel, they told me that I could not eat in the restaurant, that the guests did not approve. I had to be upstairs in my room. And so when I encountered that segregated audience in Kansas City that night, I figured enough is enough, and I walked off that stage into my dressing room, and as far as I was concerned, that was that. And the manager walks in all arrogant, talking about suing me and all, and I told him I'd see him in court. I had to take a stand, you see. But then the manager, the compere, comes in with these other two fellows, begging me to go back on, saying that the manager was new. He goes out on stage and addresses the audience. I can hear him from my dressing room. He goes, "Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, and this includes our friends upstairs. We apologize for this unfortunate misunderstanding. The management is in talks with Mr. Robeson right now, and we are hoping he might be persuaded to rejoin us just as soon as possible." Well, eventually I calm down, and I decide to go back on. But I lay it down straight. I see that Jim Crow is alive and well in Kansas City tonight. And you know my views. However, I feel that my people upstairs, who have paid good hard-earned money to hear me sing tonight, must not be disappointed. And therefore, I will continue with this concert, but for their sake only. Now, let there be no doubt that I am continuing only under protest. I will therefore sing for my people upstairs songs of our people's struggle. For we have resisted hundreds of years of slavery, but continue to fight injustice, continue to be forced to battle to preserve our dignity. Oh yes, sir, madam, you may leave if you wish. Be sure to ask for a refund on your way out. Larry, Battle of Jericho, please. Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. The Battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your king of Gideon, you may talk about your men of Saul. There's none like a good old Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with sword in hand. Go blow their ramparts, Joshua cried, because the battle had begin to sound. Joshua commanded the children to shout, and the walls come tumbling down. That morning, Joshua in the Battle of Jericho,